You'll never guess, Lee, who was running the country when Joe Biden was president.
I can't imagine.
Now, on the left, this was a conspiracy theory. Of course Joe was running the country. There's nothing wrong with Joe.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's a right-wing conspiracy theory. When you see the words right-wing conspiracy theory, you know it's the truth. If the left-wing media is using it, who was running the country? The most shocking revelation over the weekend from Jake Tapper's book finally began to hit Axios and all the Democrat news, as well as ours. A group that called itself, or was called around D.C., the Politburo. Oh, no, no. Don't laugh yet.
I know.
Don't, no, no. Don't laugh yet. Wait till you find out who that was. Hunter Biden? Wait. Yes. Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden was running the country. Hunter Biden, a guy, longtime advisor to Joe Biden by the name of Mike Donilon. This is a New York Post. A small, tight-knit group in former President Joe Biden's inner circle was running the White House like a Politburo. You know, like in the USSR.
Yeah, Russia.
Yeah, like that. They were the ultimate decision makers as Biden's health and cognitive function declined. This group, dubbed the Politburo, included Hunter Biden. I'm sorry, President Hunter Biden. President Jill Biden. Who, wait, I didn't see the American people elect her, did you?
No. Not even Democrats voted for them.
No. Mike Donilon, a longtime advisor to Joe Biden, a guy by the name of Steve Ricchetti, and a guy by the name of Bruce Reed. So these are Obama alumni, and they're also long-term advisors to Joe Biden, but the ultimate gatekeepers, Hunter and Jill. Now, this is going to be even more mind-blowing in just a second, but let me read this line from the New York Post over the weekend, because they spent a lot of time on this, and they should have. That Hunter Biden had tremendous power, they write, over his father. This is New York Post. Last Wednesday, we reported on how fresh revelations surrounding the level of control convicted felon Hunter Biden had over his father, Joe Biden, during the last 2 years of the elder Biden's presidency. And they talk about the White House cocaine incidents, why he was always there. He just run things. And at the end, when Joe really needed propping up, I mean, Hunter was sitting there running the actual meetings. As the media told us, none of this was actually going on, except that it was. Okay. Now, let me flip this around. So we know who was running the country. Over the weekend, in an article our site really needs to pay attention to, Miranda Devine at the New York Post is sounding the alarm. The piece is FBI agents covered up Hunter Biden laptop, who covered up Hunter Biden laptop must not get away with it. Think about this a minute. The FBI put Hunter Biden and Joe Biden in the White House by hiding the laptop. Then Hunter and three others run the country with the FBI's protection. Why? Because remember, Joe didn't pardon his boy for years. Well, what is in this article is shocking. Here's what happened. Senator Chuck Grassley last week, there's so much news, we didn't notice this. Senator Chuck Grassley finally forced Kash Patel to turn over an unredacted chat, okay? I don't know what Kash Patel's doing in the FBI, but the original he released covered up for the censors, for Elvis Chan and those who were censoring us all on social media, including those who covered up the laptop was Hunter's, that it wasn't Russian disinformation, and censored Donald Trump, Kayleigh McEnany, and the New York Post. And for some reason, Kash Patel covered for them, Lee, and blacked out part of their chat, right? Grassley, Senator Grassley went to Patel and went, no, we're not covering up for these FBI folks. We're going to have give me the actual chat unredacted. We have it now. Listen to this. Elvis Chan, who censored me, you, and everybody else on the internet who told the truth about Hunter Biden's laptop. Elvis Chan writes, actually, what kind of case is the laptop thing? Keep in mind, at the time, Chan for the FBI is telling Facebook, Twitter, which is owned by Jack Dorsey, and all the other media outlets, no, it's Russian disinformation. Their laptop's not real, right? Internally, what is Chan saying? Actually, what kind of case is the laptop thing? Elvis Chan asks FBI analyst Peter Courtney at 5:28 p.m. on October 14th, 2020. Corruption? Campaign finance? And then Courtney replies, close hold. In other words, don't tell anyone. It's a money laundering case on Hunter Biden.
Gee, where have we heard that before?
Oh, crap, Chan writes back. And then, okay, it ends here. What does that mean? Chan then goes to Facebook. He goes to Twitter. He gets the New York Post censored. He gets Trump's spokeswoman, Kayleigh McEnany's account locked down. He gets tens of other posts removed, and he gets thousands of other accounts removed or locked down. Knowing the whole time, we know this now, thanks to Grassley last week. This is new. Senator Grassley, thank you, Senator Grassley. No Kash Patel. We're not going to redact things. The whole time, Elvis Chan was censoring everyone. They knew not only was the laptop real, but on it, the contents of it, lay Hunter Biden's money laundering crimes, which I've been saying for years. I mean,
yes,
it's obvious,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So it wasn't just this was an embarrassment. There were some nude people on there and some prostitution, some drugs. No, it was that he was money laundering. The FBI was investigating him and they knew damn well that laptop was real. Okay. Now let's back fully out of here. Keeping where I started this segment in mind, Hunter Biden ran the White House with three other people for the last 4 years. Jake Tapper, take it up with CNN. Not a conspiracy anymore. It's in his book. Headline. FBI agents who covered up Hunter Biden's laptop in 2020 must not get away with it.
But they will.
But they will. Why? Statute of limitations coming up. That's what she's warning. Now, the good news is Elvis Chan, we don't know if he's been fired, but it was reported about a month ago by the New York Post again that he has not accessed his accounts at the FBI. So it seems like he's been at least cut off.
So we don't know if Elvis has left the building.
We don't know, but we know he's not active duty anymore. Let's put it that way. So that's good. Not good enough, says Miranda Devine. Okay, let's look at the FBI and your news that you just did, Lee, earlier, just a few minutes ago. Okay, so what is going on here? Well, Bongino and Kash Patel have announced three investigations. When I saw the headline, I went, awesome. Okay, here we go. Wait, what? We're looking at cocaine and Hunter Biden? I mean, it's interesting. It's scintillating, but I don't really care. No, I want Crossfire Hurricane. I want this. This is what I want. No. We're going to investigate who leaked the, you know, Roe v. Wade decision. Yeah. Again, that's not illegal. Interesting. That person ought to be fired. Don't care. Don't. Not given how many other things we need to look into. And the pipe bomb one, which we really do need to look into. Because the FBI is covering for whoever did that. They know. And by the way, Chris Swecker this morning, former FBI special agent in charge over the Charlotte division, I know him very well, said this morning, like, they can find that if they want. He said it on Fox News. So do that one. And I think they're covering for it. There's going to be an FBI connection. With that pipe bomb. There is. It's going to be somebody they were handling, somebody they, you know, was a source of theirs, something like that. There's an FBI connection there. Guarantee it. And that's why they're covering up for it, or a DOJ connection, or a Biden-Hunter Biden connection. But Hunter Biden's about to get away with it, and the FBI is busy going after a cocaine baggie. Figures. Sad. Really, really sad. What? Y'all aren't going to do any other investigations? No, we're busy. We're as public corruption. No, 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 no. And Miranda Devine gets it. So think about this to put it together. The FBI, Lee, this is stunning, covered up Hunter Biden's crimes, covered up the laptop because it documented Hunter Biden's crimes, lied about it, quashed a money laundering investigation because Hunter laundered Joe's bribes for him, and put Hunter Biden in charge so he could run America, along with three other people and Jill Biden, for 4 years. What a story. I couldn't write this. This is a novel. No one even would believe it. And right now, Bongino and Cash Patel, I'm sorry to say, letting him get away with it all. Miranda Devine's right. So, producer Tim, you ever gone to, you know, fast food place?
Yes.
And, you know, the consistency of the meat looks a little sus, right? As our kids would say, it looks sus.
Yeah.
As in suspicious for the rest of us.
Yes.
Yeah. But then you see 100% beef, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
100% chicken, and you feel good about what you're eating. Because, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't let them say that if it wasn't true.
It's great marketing. Yeah.
It's great marketing. I've always been puzzled by that. Because you could clearly look at certain, you know, chicken McNuggets and see chicken don't come like that. You know what I mean? Like, God did not constitute chicken in that way. That meat looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right? Yeah. There's just the substance of it doesn't look right.
Yeah, it looks a little fishy.
Yeah, well, there's a guy by the name of Luke who is an advertising executive, has been for years. He works for companies that do ads for fast food franchises. He's worked for McDonald's before.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he explained this inconsistency. Well, I mean, yeah, it says 100% beef, but does beef really look like that? You know, I think you hear of like Taco Bell, right? You ever seen it? I mean, if you don't look too closely at it and you eat it, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But if you look closely at it, beef just doesn't have that consistency, does it?
It doesn't.
It does not.
It does not.
How can we reconcile this, Tim? He explained it and I went, oh, take a listen.
I work in advertisement, and a long time ago I was working on a project with McDonald's, and I learned something that now I can never unsee. It says right there, made with 100% beef, which is such a funny twist of words because it's made with 100% beef, not made of 100% beef. With the McDonald's thing, it was like their chicken nuggets are made with 100% chicken. You know, there's a lot of other stuff in there, and some of it might not be 100% chicken, but it's made with 100%. Still tastes good.
It's all about the wording.
So think about that. As long as the chicken that you put in with the binders, dextrose and other stuff, is 100% chicken,
yeah,
then they can say made with 100% chicken.
Isn't that messed up?
Yeah, you know the lawyers work that out, right?
Oh, that's all lawyers. Lawyer jargon right there.
Yeah. So then I was like trying to think, have I ever seen made of 100% chicken?
I'm sitting here thinking about that too. I've never seen made of 100%. Made with, yes, but not made of.
So here's the example that he used, okay? Chicken McNuggets, not to pick on them. I mean, a lot of other places do the same thing, right?
Oh,
But Chicken McNuggets are advertised made with 100% chicken. Okay, but like, what are they actually? In addition to the 100% chicken, what are they made with? Well, chicken, the good news, is the first ingredient, okay? But that's followed by water, flour, canola oil, thickeners, starches, salt, mineral salt, spices, sunflower oil, and the most important food group of all, producer Tim, dextrose.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. I don't want to know. You know what's funny? I started looking that up for this segment, and then I was like, I don't want to know.
Yeah. It was made in a lab somewhere. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually am old enough to remember, so I'm older than you. I actually remember when you would go get chicken nuggets. They were the best thing in the world. They were unbelievable. Every Saturday, my mom wanted me to go to dance class, right? Got me all dressed up in my little ballet outfit. I hated it. Didn't want to do it. She got me to do it and go to dance class because she would take me and my sister to McDonald's afterward. Yeah. We got to get McNuggets. And when you bit into that McNugget, it still was chicken. It still was actually intact chicken. You could see the lines that are supposed to be there.
Right. I have a vague memory of that.
Do you? Okay, yeah. You can remember when it was really chicken?
Yeah. It was when I was a kid, definitely.
And you try to tell the kids today, oh, what it tasted like. I mean, you would get a Wendy's burger, right? The grease would drip right down the sides of your mouth as it should. Yeah. And it had the texture was right. And there was no greater treat than a Wendy's burger. It was so good.
I told my son that the other day, that if you had a time machine and you went back in time and just ate anywhere, you'd be like amazed.
You would. It was so, fast food was such a treat. Now my kids, I can't even take them to Wendy's. They won't go. They're like, it's too gross, mom. I can't eat that. Just go home and make me some scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Said no kid ever in the 80s, okay?
Oh, yeah, 100%. My kids don't even like McDonald's anymore.
No, no, they don't want it. They're like, Mom, no, please don't make me eat that.
Yeah, yeah. But, this is why. Of course, I do a lot of at-home cooking. So
yeah.
I cook a lot from scratch, so they're a little spoiled when it comes to food.
Good for you. Are your kids still cooking, by the way?
Yes.
Did you take my advice?
Yeah. My son has started cooking. He's, well, he's only making box food at the moment. My daughter's doing pretty well at it, though.
Good.
Yeah, she's using a knife where I'm not, like, freaking out.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have that first incident where they cut themselves maybe to the bone. I don't know.
She hasn't cut herself yet, but yeah. I'm usually, like, right there.
Good for you. No, yeah. You got to let them do it. That's the only way they can learn. So remember I told you, because you were exasperated, right? This was like a year ago, and it was taking you more time cleaning up the kitchen after they made food than it was for them to make food. It was easier for you to cook it. Just do it yourself. And I said, no, let them do it. Mm-hmm. Learning curve. They're a mess right now, but give them 6 months, 8 months, they'll actually get to where it's great. My kids do all the cooking in the house now, just about.
Yeah. See, I'm not there yet. I still have the issue of just let me do it.
Yeah, no, let them go. Let them learn. It's so hard. It's going to be hard for you to clean up the mess.
Yeah.
They're going to cut themselves, poison themselves, do all kinds of things. But once you can get them past that, like, no, don't, you can't put raw chicken there. No.
Yeah.
Once you get them past that and they learn how to cook, oh, it is so easy, Tim.
Yeah, I got to remember that I made mistakes and they have to make mistakes to learn. So I got to keep that in mind. Yes, I try to. I've gotten better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So now me and my husband go looking for a victim. My daughter is awesome. She usually volunteers to cook. And we'll be like, nah, she's cooked too many times this week. We'll go looking for my 15-year-old son. He's usually playing video games. Yeah. Oh, looks like you got nothing to do. Cook.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about what it is with Skylar. Yeah, it's like, dude, what are you doing? Get out of your room. Go do something.
We make him cook. And you know what's really funny? He's a really good cook, my 15-year-old. Oh, my gosh, he's amazing. He made these, like, scrambled egg bacon bagel concoction the other day because we made him get up and cook. Mm-hmm. And all the kids are like, oh, make him do that again. You know, but it's because I went through the phase of, oh, my gosh, he trashed my kitchen again. I've got food from the kid learning to cook phase. Like, I've got food smashed between my oven and like, my counters.
Yeah, like the crack right there.
Yes, that I will never get out. It's fossilized now.
Oh, yeah, it's, like, completely, like, there forever.
Forever. It's never coming out. But it was worth. I mean, it's gross. The next people who own the house will inherit it. But it was so worth it because they're 15 and 17 now. They do all the cooking.
Concrete it in.
Oh yeah. After a while, I mean, it doesn't smell anymore. It'll be fine. It
just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So stick with that. But anyway, whatever. Next time you see made with 100% chicken, understand that is the stuff. The 100% chicken is the stuff in between the binders and the dextrose and the starches and the canola oil and the flour. So there you go. Same with the beef, by the way. How lost are the Democrats? Really, really, really lost. They're spending $20 million to study the syntax that young males use online so they can use AI to copy it and speak to them. Normal people don't have to do things like this. Think Trump ever had to do that? Spend $20 million to figure out how to speak to men? Why? Because they're a bunch of women who hate men. That's who the Democrat Party is now. They're women who hate men. They hate men because they can't have relationships with men. They feel rejected by men. They are fundamentally failures at having relationships with men. And they've weaponized that into a political ideology. They're bitter. That's what they are. And Rush Limbaugh had them nailed. So they don't know how to talk to men. They've failed in their own lives. They hate men, and they join a political party that hates men, so they can all hate men together. And now they want to know how to talk to men, and they have to study it with $20 million to study syntax of males, so they can then copy it and speak to them. Wish them luck with that. It's not going really well. Not at all. Folks, the Democrat Party, you want to know how badly on the ropes Trump has them? This is okay. This is the New York Times admitting this. This is your good news segment this morning. Our battle against mental illness and the liberal Democrat philosophy. We're making great gains. I wish we could have like one of those, you know, that little ribbon you could put on your car. You know, search for the cure. Holding out for the cure. We're holding out for the cure for liberalism. Trump's finding it. He's curb stomping these people. Listen to this. Make no mistake about it, the Democrat Party is facing an existential crisis that even their media allies can't spin anymore. The New York Times, the crown jewel of the liberal media establishment, just published a devastating analysis showing the Democrats' supposed stronghold on American politics has crumbled under the MAGA movement. Listen to this. Quote from the New York Times. All told, Mr. Trump has increased the Republican Party's share of the presidential vote in each election he's been on the ballot in close to half the counties in America. So that's even in 2020. 1,433 counties in all. He's increased the Republican Party's share of the presidential vote, right? It's a staggering political achievement, the New York Times wrote, writes, especially considering that Mr. Trump was defeated in the, well, not really, they cheated, was defeated in the second of those three races in 2020. By contrast, Democrats have steadily expanded their vote share in those three elections in only 57 of the nation's 3,100 counties. Not 57%, 57. So think of that. Trump expands the Republican Party share of the presidential vote in 1,433 counties across the three times he's run. Democrats expand it in 57 counties. Ouch. In the 2024 election, six times as many counties shifted toward the GOP as toward Democrats, while 435 counties trended more Democrat compared to 2012. 2,678 moved more Republican, and by an even larger margin of 13.3 points versus 8.8 for Democrats. So you've got 435 counties trending more Democrat compared to 2,678 counties trending more Republican. This is why they're spending $20 million to study the syntax of men. In other words, their speech patterns, to figure out how to speak with them, speak to them. You know why they figure, well, we'll sell them hatred, failure, destruction, and communism if we can just speak in their syntax. No, people don't want that crap. They don't want it. It's that simple. Just stop. Just stop. It's not hard. And when Trump does stuff like this, he doesn't need special syntax. Trump over the weekend, this was truly glorious, threatened to take $3 billion with a B of grant money from Harvard and give it to trade schools across America. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So take it from the useless at Harvard and give it to the useful in our trade schools. Trump posted on Truth Social, I am considering taking $3 billion of grant money away from a very anti-Semitic Harvard and giving it to trade schools all across our land. What a great investment that would be for the USA so badly needed. This is a top 10 in American news story. Why people love this stuff. They love it. You think Trump worries about syntax? Speech patterns? He doesn't have to. Okay. He puts a second post up an hour later, totally flipping out the media. We are still waiting for the foreign student list from Harvard so we can determine, after a ridiculous expenditure of billions of dollars, how many radicalized lunatics, troublemakers all, should not be back into our country. Harvard is very slow in the presentation of these documents, and probably for good reason. Yeah, because they're loaded up with people. I'm telling you, on the terror watch list, that's who they're giving these visas to. Hamas supporters, ISIS group supporters. It's going to be horrible when we get the list. We're going to get it. The best thing Harvard has going for it is that they have shopped around and found the absolute best judge for them, but have no fear the government will in the end win. Yes, because the liberal judge has said he can't do this. He's got to fund Harvard, which is ridiculous. Okay, folks. Now, a lot of people, probably, and this is why this is a top 10 story in the country right now. People don't understand, why is Trump picking on foreign students at Harvard? They make up a third of the students. Was it because it's because they're brown? It's brown. No, it's because they're terrorists or they're supporting terrorists. I mean, you've got one of the guys Trump's trying to get rid of right now. His cousin was on the hang gliders flying in to rape and murder women at that concert on October 7th. And he's distributing flyers on campus calling him a martyr. What is he doing? He's recruiting for a terror group. I want to play this for you. There's two groups that are very active on campus right now, these student visa holders, right? One of them is called Sammy Down. And they were having a Zoom conference. You want to hear what they think their job is to do? This is Mohammed Khalib discussing their goals.
If Palestine is liberated, this means this is a nail to dismantle the United States of America.
Now, liberal administrators here that said colleges, they go, wow, we got to get this guy at our school. We can learn so much from him. We're trying to dismantle America too, right? This is, Trump is looking in the right place. Okay, this is Students for Justice that have caused a lot of these violent anti-Semitic attacks, spitting on Jewish students, all of that. Listen to them. They're trying to free Mumia, the cop killer. That's their first step. Want to hear what else they want to do? Here you go.
We will free Mumia because it is our job to destroy imperialism, destroy the United States, and destroy capitalism and the system of extraction that it relies on to perpetuate itself.
Okay.
And we will do it by organizing in a manner that actively undermines and destabilizes the legitimacy and the, you know, power of the state and the power and legitimacy of capitalism.
Now, you do that in your country, honey, not in this one, not on a student visa. Bye-bye. Go away. Bye-bye. And so this is why Trump wants the list of these students. This was, by the way, that was the same national organizing Zoom meeting they're using for all the campuses. And this is, folks, this is why they've had to add remedial math at Harvard. At Harvard. Why? Because they're taking terrorist sympathizers. They don't know how to do math. They don't know how to build bombs, but they don't know how to do math. You know what? This is why Harvard won't turn it over either. Why? Because you run that list. I'm telling you, we're going to do this. We're going to get it. You run that list against national and international terror watch lists, and it's going to go bing, 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 bing. You're going to find it's outrageous who they've given these student visas to. This weekend, Elon Musk threw his hands up, now confirming he is disappointed in congressional Republicans for not implementing the DOGE cuts. By that means he means the dollar amount, not the actual cuts. That'd take a rescission bill. Elon now says the most viable path out of the debt spiral America is in is accelerating the economic growth. Quote, only radical improvements in productivity can save our country, unquote. Yeah, the Trump administration's putting that figure at 3% growth. We got to hit it. Problem is, we're already in a recession, not Trump's fault. Joe Biden left us that. So getting up to speed by the end of the year is going to be tough, but we'll see. It's really sad to me. He lost 25% of his wealth. I mean, he's got plenty of money, sure, but this is a guy who gave lost 25% of his wealth. Tesla will probably never recover. Not the way it was. To the damage to his reputation, trying to save this country from bankruptcy. Congressional Republicans just shrugged their shoulders. Don't care. He tweeted again over the weekend, back to spending 24/7 at work and sleeping in conference server factory rooms. I must be super focused on X and XAI and Tesla plus Starship launch next week as we have critical technologies rolling out. As evidenced by X uptime issues this week, major operational improvements need to be made to X. The failover redundancy should have been worked out, but was not. That was in response to a post by somebody saying, look, X had outages this morning. And he says, yeah, I'm not doing the Doge thing anymore. I'm going to concentrate on my businesses. That's probably best for him. Congressional Republicans just a mess. And Senator Rand Paul says he's not voting for this big, beautiful bill.
Somebody has to stand up and yell, the emperor has no clothes. And everybody's falling in lockstep on this. Pass the big, beautiful bill. Don't question anything. Well, conservatives do need to stand up and have their voice heard. This is a problem we've been facing for decades now. And if we don't stand up on it, I really fear the direction the country is going.
The senator, the speaker is.
Here's what Rand Paul says the problem is. And if you listen to him, he's not radical here. This is not a guy who's saying, cut the whole deficit or I'm not going to vote for it. That's not it. Listen to what he says. Just listen. Just give him a chance.
The bigger a bill, the more it includes, the more difficult it is to get everybody to agree to things. I supported the tax cuts in 2017. I support making them permanent. So I support that part of the bill. I support spending cuts. I think the cuts currently in the bill are wimpy and anemic, but I still would support the bill, even with wimpy and anemic cuts, if they weren't going to explode the debt. The problem is the math doesn't add up. They're going to explode the debt by, the House says $4 trillion. The Senate's actually been talking about exploding the debt $5 trillion. This year in September, when our fiscal year ends, the deficit will be about $2.2 trillion. Now, people used to always say, the Republicans would say, what's Bidenomics? That's Biden spending levels. When March, every Republican, virtually every Republican other than me, voted to continue the Biden spending levels, which are going to give us a $2.2 trillion deficit. Now, if you increase the debt ceiling $4 to $5 trillion, that means they're planning on $2 trillion this year and more than $2 trillion next year. That's just not conservative. So I've told them if they strip out the debt ceiling, I'll consider, even with the imperfections, voting for the rest of the bill. But I can't vote to raise the debt ceiling $5 trillion. There's got to be someone left in Washington who thinks debt is wrong and deficits are wrong and wants to go in the other direction. The idea that we're going to explode deficits and the projections are now looking at over $3 trillion in deficits over the next 10 years, I think is just, you know, not a serious proposal.
So